This podcast is brought to you by Clara Post Office. And now we have a little message from Maura Nocton.
Hi everyone, Maura Nocton here from Clara Post Office. I've operated the post office in Clara for 29 years and this year I've decided to take a long earned break and I will be retiring later this year. I would like to take this opportunity to thank all my customers and great staff over the years. Once again, thanks for everything down through the years from myself and the team. Thank you.
Broadcasting live from the little town of Clara, County Offaly, it's What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Get in touch today through all our social channels and have your say. Oh, and thanks for listening. Now it's over to you, Lloyd. What's the story?
Hi everyone, welcome again to What's the Story podcast with me, Lloyd Bracken. Hope you're enjoying all the shows so far. Indeed, thank you very much for all the downloads and feedback. Especially the man himself, the king, was here last week, Seanie Monaghan. So great reaction to that, and we had great fun with Seanie. And he'd put you in good form, I think. So he'd brighten up the lockdown. But as always, if you'd like to send in a request for someone, or indeed nominate a podcast guest, please get in touch. We're open to suggestions here. So get in touch through the Little Town Media Facebook page. Lastly, all the podcasts are available on Spotify, also on iTunes as well. My next guest is one of the top film and TV directors in the country, who also just happens to be from the little town of Clara here. He has directed some of the top rated shows on Irish television, including the critically acclaimed Pure Mule. He has numerous credits to his name, while also winning 5 IFTAs, including Best Director along the way. So let's find out what the movie business is like. It's a pleasure to introduce to you Declan Rex. What's the story?
Hi Lloyd, how are you?
I'm very well, Declan. Thank you. And thanks very much for joining me on the podcast. It's fair to say you're from a very arty family, Declan. The Rex family name is synonymous with the arts around the country. Was it a case that your career was almost chosen for you with such a strong family influence from an early age?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, yeah, there was definitely, there was always music and drama around the house, you know, between the musical society and whether it was Tops of Towns or whatever. And my father being in bands as well, no more than your own. So yeah, there was always some sort of, you know, the stage was always something that was going on. There was always something, we were always putting on a musical or putting on a show or whatever. So I suppose it made it easier to, it wasn't as big a leap to say, I want to do this as a career. Whereas I suppose in other households, it might have been a bit left field.
It must have been a very fun house to grow up in, Declan, was it?
Well, I think so. I mean, it was, you know, four lads under one roof, yeah. Well, it was always great crack when the musical would be on once a year. For as long as I can remember, it was always the musical. Yeah, because I mean, they were going to celebrate their 50th last year, I think. Yeah, I mean, the musicals growing up every year, they were on. So you just kind of knew Easter was coming around because everybody'd be off rehearsing. And once we got old enough, we all got roped in for different bits and pieces. We were all put on stage at an early age anyway, whether it was in The Sound of Music or poor Brian getting roped into Oliver. And then I got kind of roped into doing, I showed an interest in painting the scenery. So I used to go and help Martin Moore paint the backdrops, which was always, always look forward to that. So yeah, so it was always something that kept us busy.
Did you manage to tread the boards yourself, Declan?
I did, but I had good sense to stop that after a while. It was always under duress. I quickly realised I preferred to be behind the scenes than in front of them.
Declan, tell me about your school life then. Did you go to school in Clara or?
I did, yeah. No, I went to the national school here in Clara. I suppose we were very lucky to have a brother, Placidus, or Larry Timmons, as he was known, through the last 3 years there. And he was also a man who was very interested in putting on shows, and he kind of let us all do our own thing. He was very encouraging. I went from there to Killina, where again, we were all always encouraged to sort of do our own little projects or whatever. So it was, you were always encouraged to sort of be a self-starter in those things, which I suppose helped in the eventual, in what I ended up doing, you know.
Okay, so well, like you mentioned, a self a self-starter. It is kind of an entrepreneurial thing, really, isn't it? The directorship and the producing of movies, because it's a tough business to get into, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, nobody's going to do it for you. So you have to kind of get up and you have to create your own work a lot of the time, which, you know, no different than in, you know, musicians. That's something you learn fairly early on. I remember going to, before I went to, I studied in Dunleary College of Art, as it was known. And before I went there, I had tried a couple other places as well. And Galway Institute of Technology, or the RTC as it used to be called, they had an animation course down there. And I remember going down just for an orientation, just to find out a bit about it. And the first thing the orientation lecturer said to everybody in the room was, you will never get a full-time job if you take this course. So, you know, we were warned early on that it wasn't going to be... there wasn't the opportunities that there are now, I suppose. Yeah.
But that was the reality of it, even from the lecturer, to say, look, lads, this is good if you can get into this, but don't expect to be a multimillionaire selling director or whatever overnight, you know? So there's a sense of realism there, wasn't there?
Because there was no business back then. I mean, there was no film board, there was no... RT wasn't making drama. We were still in two-channel land. Actually, probably in one-channel land. But definitely only two-channel land anyway. And yes, there wasn't that many opportunities. So you kind of had to create your own.
Do you feel, Declan, that if you were to start now, that it would be a totally different kettle of fish with the amount of resources that's there now?
Yeah, I mean, it should be. You'd imagine it should be easier, but actually it's tougher because there are more people want to do it now than wanted to do it back then. You know, so it is really, you know, there are a lot more opportunities, but there's also, you know, it's now on a lot of people's CAO choice, you know. Oh, I'd like to be a filmmaker. So, you know, there's a lot of competition out there now that wasn't there. I think when I graduated, it was probably maybe the only short films we made at the time were the ones being made at the colleges. So there was, you know, maybe 20 or 30 short films made in Ireland per year at that time. Now you could have hundreds, if not more, being churned out. So it's definitely a lot more competitive now. But there are more opportunities. Yeah.
But people, you mentioned people filling out the CAO forms. I think a lot of people think that there's a lot of glamour in this. But, you know, it's probably quite the opposite from a behind-the-camera point of view. There's a lot of work that goes into projects.
I mean, it is. They're long hours. When you're on a production, it's fairly long, long haul. The whole pre-production process on a film is, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, and then you're shooting for 5 or 6 weeks, and then you've got the post-production, which takes another maybe 3 months. It's not, and when you're on set, it's not particularly glamorous. It's usually cold or wet, you know. It may look glamorous, but it's certainly not. Okay. But it's great crack, and I wouldn't do anything else. You know, it's good fun, and you're always, every job you're on is different. You know, there's quite often there's new people on every job you're on as well. So it's always entertaining and it's always different.
Has COVID stopped the filmmaking in its tracks, Declan, or did you have to adapt much?
We just had to adapt. When I was lucky, last series I did, just we literally finished post-production before the first lockdown. And then I started doing a couple of episodes of another series in just as the second lockdown started. And we were shooting through the second lockdown. But it was, you know, there was a lot of safety protocols. There was, everyone was masked. We were tested every week. You wore masks inside, outside. There was sanitation, you know, the hand sanitizers everywhere, all around the set. And, you know, people not allowed to travel together, all sorts of things like that. So it was very well handled. But even still, we had one outbreak, which shut us down for a couple of days. But we figured out, film people are very good at figuring out processes to, you know, everything is scheduled down to the last minute. So we come up with a plan and stick to it. And that's what it, so we're looking that, you know, it's considered an essential service that people are able to watch their soaps and their dramas. So that's how we've been allowed to continue working. And then once we get into, I've been doing a lot of most of the post-production now, where, you know, the editing, you'd normally, you would normally sit in a room with the editor and work, but now all of that's been done over Zoom at the moment anyway. So, but hopefully we'll get back to normal.
So what's it like to edit a project on Zoom?
it's not that much different than being in the room, except it's funny, you have to concentrate a lot more, I think. I don't know why, and you don't have the, it's not as, you're definitely not working as fast, I think, because you don't have, you know, because you're not in the room, and then it's definitely a workable solution, you know. I suppose maybe it's the social aspect of being in the room with someone and having a bit of a chat while you're doing the edit as well. Yeah. It's not the same over Zoom. Yeah.
You mentioned the effects COVID had on the industry. What has it been like, the change, since you started to now?
The main change is, I suppose, everything gets, everybody wants to do things faster now. It's a bit, they presume with technology that you should be able to work faster. Editing being one of them. You know, when I started, we would have shot most things on film and cut them on film, which is a very slow process. And once we switched over to digital, to non-linear editing, everyone presumed, oh, you can go much faster now, you know, you don't have to go find little clips of film or whatever. But technology has made a huge difference. Like, we didn't have mobile phones when we started. I can't figure out how we managed to do anything without mobile phones, because now you just can't survive. Or we didn't have email, and you're just like, how do all this stuff without email? But you just, you adapt and change things around, and it's definitely for the better. There was a time, when we were shooting on film, you shot the stuff and then you sent it to the lab in London, and then you get it back maybe 3 days later and see whether you had anything, you know, whether it was there or not. Whereas now you can watch stuff straight away and you start to cut straight away. So, everything's sped up, definitely.
So you think even before all this technology, you were kind of shooting in the dark, for want of a better term, on a lot of movies?
Yeah, well, that's why I suppose the cinematographer was such a valued role, because they were the guys holding the light meter, because you couldn't see what you were, you know, you didn't have a monitor in front of you, so you were trusting that the cinematographer was getting the right exposure onto the camera, and that everything would be fine. So, it was a shot in the dark, I suppose.
Declan, do you remember your first time on a film set, and what was that like?
God, good question. Apart from my own, I don't think I was on a film set prior to one of my own. I remember my first time on a professional paid gig where I was being paid to direct, and that was terrifying. Because up until that, I'd been making short films where you're kind of, you were to a certain extent free to do what you wanted, and you weren't watching the clock all the time. And whereas once you're on a professional gig, every second counts. I remember that, all right.
Like, I'd like to get your, like, a feel for this, because we're all trying to understand, anybody who's listening. So if I write a script, I hire Declan Rex to direct it for me, I suppose, how is a director hired?
Well, there's lots of different ways. I mean, there's director for hire, which is someone who's brought in once the script is already there. But, you know, even still, you're always working on the script and continue to develop the script right up until the point that you're shooting and while you're shooting. So, it depends on the relationship, I suppose, between the director and writer as well. Like, I've been lucky, I've done a lot of work with Eugene O'Brien, who's also an Awfully man. And, you know, we'd work very closely together when we're working on something, right through development and then into production. But then, I suppose, if I'm just a director for hire on a show that I haven't been involved in the development, it's usually television, and there's usually a short window of time to prep it, and you make whatever changes you think need to be made, and then that's what the producer is overseeing and making sure that they're happy that things are going the way they should. They're different. Every project's different, I suppose.
But you've done both, act and produce, and obviously you've written stuff as well and direct. What's easier, producing or directing?
Definitely directing, I think. Like, my early short films, I would have produced them as well, either by myself or with some other people. And when you start to make films that have funders, then there's a lot of paperwork to do. Again, it's not the glamorous side of the business, that's for sure. A lot of contracts, all that sort of stuff. So we used to do that. You know, when I used to have a production company, we would do a lot of that. And I kind of decided at one point, well, I think I need to break away from this and concentrate on directing, because this isn't, producing isn't what I want to do. Okay. But, you know, everybody's different.
Hiring a director is one thing, Declan, but how is a director picked for a specific project? Because it's not really a kind of a one-size-fits-all for every director. So people would want to maybe pick the right man for the job?
People tend to be, particularly funders, I suppose, they tend to be risk-averse. So if there's a new drama series about people in a small town, then I'd say I'd be on that list. Whereas if there's a new drama series set in space, they say, oh, well, he's not on that list. I mean, people tend to go and ask you and look at stuff that you've done before and say, right, well, he's a safe bet for that, but he's not a safe bet for X, Y, or Z because he hasn't done it before. But that doesn't necessarily mean you can't do it, but they like to have a little bit of comfort if they're going to spend a lot of money.
Okay. Declan, was there ever a fallback career if this didn't work out?
No. Short answer. Didn't have any. Originally I thought I wanted to be an animator, but I gave up on that idea after 1 year in Dunleary. So I suppose the directing was the fallback plan.
Right. Okay, so you're already in your fallback.
Exactly. I've no other option.
You're a reserved kind of guy, if you don't mind me saying so. Is there a different deck than when he sits in the director's chair?
I don't think so. I try not to think about it. I'm not one for shouting on set. There are people who are, you know, everyone has a different style. I'm more bring people along with you rather than try and battle with them. But no, you have to be. I mean, the main thing on you spend most of the day on set answering questions to, you know, and solving problems. But I don't think you have to be necessarily loud to do that.
Are some actors harder to work with than others?
Everybody's different, I suppose.
Well, I mean, would you, a big name star, would you treat them any way differently than a guy that's just coming up and through the ranks?
No, I mean, everybody, again, doesn't matter whether they're established or whether they're only starting out. I think it's down to the individual's personality and whether they're, if they're going to be difficult, yeah, it, being a star or not being a star isn't necessarily going to make a difference, I think, you know. And then every actor, no more than every director, has a different way of working as well. You know, some are very methodical or some are, you know, some... You know, they've all got different styles. There are, you know, so many different styles of acting. So it can be problematic if you've got a couple of people in the scene who are working very different styles and refuse to give way to the other person. So you end up being a kind of a referee at times between different acting styles. I've been lucky in that I haven't encountered too many.
I remember your mother telling me on her podcast that to be a director, you need to be a counsellor, a psychologist, and all that rolled into one. Lots of patience. It's the same at films, I suppose.
Yeah, pretty much. Definitely lots of patience, because there's a lot of hanging around waiting for things to happen. I mean, your job, particularly when you're talking with actors, your job is to create an environment that they feel comfortable working in. And that they are going to give you their best. So that's my job, is to make sure that the script is in a place that's good and that I've thought through how I want to present the scene to the actors and you know, make them feel like they can contribute and feel free to try things out, whatever. So that's really my job.
Okay.
And I think if you pick the right actors, then my job gets even easier. If you pick the wrong actors, then you've got a battle on your hands.
Yeah. I mentioned your mother there. I just have a little piece of audio here. I hope you can hear this now. I just want to explain to everybody, we're over kind of a Zoom call, I suppose. So here we go.
Hello, Declan. It's the mother here, just want to wish you all the best. I know these are very tough times trying to film, and you're working extra hard, but we're all very proud of you. I'm proud of each and every one of you, and we're all proud of you. So keep going at it, and we'll get that Oscar yet.
So now we'll get that Oscar yet, Dick.
No pressure.
Mammies never have put pressure on, do they? Like, you have a fairly varied resume working on lots of different projects. Is there any one particular genre that you enjoy working on more?
I suppose I'd be best known just for straight drama, with a little bit of comedy thrown in, I guess. And that's what I'm most comfortable with, I suppose.
Okay, we have a question here from one of our listeners. Can you ask Declan, does he find it easy watching his own stuff back, or are there changes he would make today on some stuff?
Always changes, yeah. I think, and I'm sure most people are the same, once you've made something, you generally, once it's done, it's done. I try not to look at it again, because you if you do, you're picking holes in it. I mean, I find even if you're going around festivals or whatever, and you tend to sit in for the first few minutes and then nip out, because you just can't. I find it hard to watch anyway, because there's always stuff you want to change. There's always stuff you think, oh, we just had a bit more time here, yeah, or a bit more time there, or I should have cut that scene, or I should have, you know, whatever. So, you know, the only reason a film gets finished is because you eventually, someone says you need to stop cutting now and you need to finish it. Because otherwise, I think most filmmakers would just keep tinkering away, you know.
When you're editing stuff, like, when do you decide, right, that's it, I'm happy with this, or... As a director, are you ever truly happy? You probably answered that question there anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, you decide when you run out of time. That's when it stops, usually. Once the budget has run out and you no longer have any more editing time, then that's the time to stop.
Okay. Another question, Declan, from our listener. What's the movie Declan would most like to have directed, and why?
I've always been a fan of Bill Forsyth. So Local Hero, I don't know if you've seen Local Hero.
No.
It's a lovely Scottish film. And I just think it's a perfect film, great cast, great story. And it's set in a small town. So, I've always liked that.
What's so perfect about that, Declan, that you would call it perfect?
I don't know. I mean, well, there's plenty, obviously, flaws in it, but it's... I think everything has some flaws, but as a whole, it seems to work. And I think part of the magic of something that works is it's very hard to put your finger on exactly why it works, because if you could, then we'd all be doing it. So it has a magic to it, and it's unexplainable, whatever that magic is, but it just works.
Declan, we could talk for hours on all the projects that you have worked on, but we'll stick to a few. Yeah. You have 22 directing credits to your name, but you've also written some short films. One of them, a couple of them actually, was set in Clara, but probably the best known was The Big Swinger in 1989. Jimmy Sullivan, an ex-show band drummer who runs a pirate radio station in a small Midlands town, the peace and quiet of the town is disrupted when Jimmy's radio program interferes with passing aeroplanes and the authorities send two heavies to close the station, but Jimmy isn't going to give up without a fight. Where did the idea from that come about, Declan?
I think it probably came from, at the time, there was a lot of pirate radio stations around Midlands, or, well, all over the country, really. But I remember there was one in particular in Mullingar that Jack Rabbit used to be on, and Barry Flynn, called Radio West. I don't know if you remember Radio West. It was, it was a pirate before Midlands Radio 3 came on the scene. And I always had an interest in radio before I went to Dunleary. I was too young to go to Dunleary School of Art. So I had a year after school, and I went to Ballyfermot Senior College to do a year in in TV and radio. So I always had a bit of an interest in radio. And we used to there used to be a summer project here in Clara as well, back in the 80s when we were growing up. And we used to run a pirate radio station ourselves for the week during that. And my father was involved in it as well. And Christy Rock and I think Barry Flynn was there as well. and Ricey, of course. So yeah, well, we just had a very, very low powered transmitter because Clara's in basically surrounded by Eskers. There was no fear of any signal in Clara getting any further than Clara. So I suppose, yeah, the radio thing was always there in the background, and I was looking for an idea for graduation film, and our writing tutor in Dunleary, I suppose they ask you what are you interested in, and to try to get you to work on something that you know about and that you have an interest in. So that, and I like the idea of, you know, I think the lawlessness of these guys who were operating pirate radio stations, like Radio Caroline, who were operating off the boat in the Irish Sea. I thought it was like, yeah, two fingers to the authorities.
It was a great story, though. I mean, there's a lot of kudos from that, and you also won some awards, and we'll have a little listen to that now.
For 21-year-old Declan Rex from Clara in County Offaly, it was a day of awards. First, the Steenbeck Award for the Best Edited Film. Next, the Colour Film Services Award, which guarantees world distribution through Canon Cinemas alongside a major feature film. Then, with other Dunleary students and co-producer Cathy Davis, the £1,000 Fujifilm Scholarship, won in competition with 25 British colleges. And the cost of the 50-minute award winner, a £2,000 loan from the Bank of Ireland in Clara and £1,000 from Declan's parents. The comedy film Big Swinger was shot in Clara over 3 days and features Tom Hickey as a former show band drummer who runs a pirate radio station in a small Midlands town.
So Declan, some nice recognition there for the Big Swinger. The price tag mentioned there, €3,000.
I don't know where you found that.
Did you ever give that money back to your parents?
No comment. I know the bank definitely got their money back anyway.
Well, the bank always gets the money back. Actually, we just take a little piece here from actor Tom Hickey as Jimmy Sullivan.
Yes, it's Radio Clara, the Big Swinger, coming to you from the belly of the Midlands. And now I'd like to thank all those lovely, lovely ladies in the Irish Country Women's Association for the fabulous, wonderful cake they sent me from their cake sale last night. It was just terrific. Coming up, a little request for you all.
You couldn't have picked a better actor, I think, to play that part.
Yeah, no, it was, and I was kind of, it was not written for him initially, and then Dunleary was beginning to make a name for itself as a place where, you know, there was decent short films coming out of it. And Tom had come to the to Roisin Hogan, who ran the place, and said he was interested if there was a film if that suited him, he'd love to get involved. So it was just great coincidence, really, that he came along. Because I'd always, in my head, originally, I'd always thought Jimmy was a lot younger, but... And I don't know what age Tom was at the time, but he was a lot older than I had planned on having him, but it worked out really well. And then with Kevin Reynolds as his sidekick as well. But no, it was great. It was good fun. I'm not sure if they were right that we shot it in 3 days. I think we might have been a little bit longer. Might have taken a bit longer than that.
Another short film set in Clara was a film called Quando. Featuring none other than Cillian Murphy, who is now a Hollywood actor. Did you enjoy setting these scenes in Clara, Declan? You always kind of came back to Clara and got local people involved and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't consider myself a writer, and I haven't watched that film in a long, long time. It's rough enough around the edges. It was great. Look, when you came to Clara, you knew that you were... You get a lot of cooperation. When I would have written it, I would have had locations already in mind as to where we could shoot it. So it made sense then to shoot it in Clara. And your good self, you were involved as well.
Well, I actually stole my way onto that film set. I think I wrangled in somewhere.
I remember originally, Frankie McCafferty, who was a great actor from the West, was supposed to play the lead. And unfortunately, his dad died just the week before we started shooting. And so Frankie had to pull out and we recast. And Paul Mead, who took over, It was only when we put him on in front of a microphone to realise he was completely tone deaf and he was supposed to be able to sing. And that's where you came in.
So,
it, right?
So really, you got another tone deaf singer then.
And we got Pat Ennis to write the song as well, which was great. And Pat and Jack and Alan and yourself performed it. And then the actors mimed away on stage. Although Killian, in fairness to him, was a decent drummer. So that helped as well.
It was great. Yeah, my claim to fame actually from that film was teaching Killian Murphy how to do a bog accent.
All right. Yeah, it's funny. It's a recurring thing with actors. It happened. It was the same on Pure Mule. We had to get someone to help coach them. Finian McGrath here in town. He wrote up a little sort of cheat sheet for how to pronounce certain words when you're in the Midlands. There's always an awfully dialect coach on the go.
We'll talk about Pure Mule in a few minutes. Eden was your first debut feature film, Declan, and it was the closing film of the 2008 Jameson International Film Festival and premiered in competition at the Tribeca Film Festival, winning Eileen Walsh the Best Actress Award. Was that a nervous time showing films at these festivals, or are the festivals the be-all and end-all?
Oh, well, for small film, small independent films, festivals are really important just to get the word out, because, you know, you don't have the sort of promotional budget that a big Hollywood film has. If you do well at a festival, it gets a lot of notice in the press, and then hopefully you get a release out of it, which we were lucky enough to get with Eden. We got a release in the States as a result of it premiering in Tribeca. So, yeah, no, festivals are great, and they're a really important part of breaking a film, particularly as a small film. So it's tricky at the moment, obviously, with cinema. Well, apart from cinemas being closed, but the absence of festivals is tricky as well.
The movie itself is about Billy and Breida haven't had a night out together in years, but Breida makes changes and is ready to sweep Billy off his feet. However, Billy has other plans, most of them involving another woman, Imelda Egan. It's a story about a couple's good times gone bad who have promised to be together forever. We're going to just take a little piece of audio from Eden.
Big smiles.
There's so much to try for.
How is Breida?
Oh, she's grand.
And so much to lie for.
Dad, don't be going out.
But how can we go on?
You're so good together. What happens?
When there's so much pleasure.
You know this man.
Billy, isn't it?
Simple. Universal.
You see, Breida now realizes that you have to keep yourself in shape or no man will want you. Not even your own husband.
Wake. Wake me now.
It'll be different.
So that was Eden, Declan. And actually, I only watched that recently myself, I must confess, but I found it was brilliant. Really, really, really good piece. What's your thoughts on that looking back? Are you proud of that, Declan?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it took a long time to get it made. We actually started trying to make that film back in 2001. It was 2008 before it premiered, and we made Pure Mule in between. So, yeah, it took a long time to get it off the ground, but it was based on a play that Eugene had written, also called Eden, and had read it before it was put on, and I just thought, yeah, this could make a really good film. It was, Eileen was obviously integral to the success of the film, and she was someone that I had seen for the first time when we were casting Quando. I had the casting director said, oh, there's this young lad down in Cork, and he's going to be, so it was Killian. And he was in a play with Eileen called Disco Pigs. And that was the first time I saw Eileen on stage. And I remember at the time thinking, apart from Killian being brilliant, I have to work with her. And it was, that was 97. So 2005, I think, when we made, or 2004, when we made Pure Mule. So it took a few years, but we got there in the end.
People would be surprised to hear that. Start a film in 2001, but doesn't premiere till 2008.
Yeah, well, when I say start, I mean, you know, the initial plan to, I'd read the play, said, right, we want to make this. But yeah, it can take years just of writing and rewriting. And then once you're happy with the script, it can take years to get the money together. And I think with Eden, because Pure Mule went out in 2005, that kind of, and was very successful, that allowed us, you know, that opened a lot of doors for financing Eden. It seemed like less of a risk than it was prior to Pure Mule. I think, you know, because we had been trying to make the film before Pure Mule, and people were like, nobody really wants to watch a depressing film about two, you know, an unhappily married couple in the Midlands. So I think Pure Mule helped to get it across the line.
But like the recognition for Eden was unbelievable. Nominated for Best Director, winner Eileen Walsh got the Best Actress from the Tribeca Film Festival, winner of Best Feature Film at the Boston Irish Film Festival, and nominated for European Film Awards. So plenty of things to be happy about there.
It went down well, as they say.
I think it's just a movie that connected with people. I know you're saying people didn't want to see two people unhappily married in the Midlands, but it is a part of life, and it obviously did resonate with people that was watching.
It did. I mean, the big surprise for us was how popular it was in America. When we showed it in Tribeca, they were really taken with it. And I think that's why we got distribution there as well. The owner of the company that distributed the film just really connected with it. But, you know, it's always interesting when you're showing films. Eden is a very Irish film. And I do remember, you know, you always do Q&As after films at festivals. And one of the questions that would inevitably come up was, you know, if they're so unhappy, why don't they just get divorced? I mean, you'd have to explain to them, well, actually, that was not an option.
The Flag, then. Talk to me about that. Released in Christmas 2016. And it was number one film screened on Irish TV on Christmas Day of that year, capturing a third of all viewers. Pat Short is involved here. A down-on-his-luck builder finds out his father raised the flag in 1916 Rising. The flag now hangs in a British army barracks, and he makes up his mind to get it. A bit of fun in this film, and a bit of action as well, Declan.
Yeah, no, it was good fun. I mean, it was because the 1916 commemoration was coming up. Rob Walpole, the producer, kind of had an idea. Well, his grandfather was supposedly had raised the flag over the GPO, and he had found this letter that kind of proved that. So that was kind of the seeded idea. And then we just gave it to Eugene and said, right, run with that. And Eugene came up with kind of a one-page pitch that was brought to Pat, and Pat said, yeah, I'm on board, and came together really quickly. We shot it in March 2016, and it was finished in the cinemas in September. There was no point in releasing it in 2017. We would have missed the boat. We almost missed the boat as it was. We should really have had it out for Easter 2016, but there you go.
What was it like working with Pat Short?
Oh, Pat was great to work with, yeah. What people don't know about him is he's an incredibly hardworking guy. Like, I mean, he's, apart from what you're working on at the moment, his head is going the whole time. Like, he's always got a million things going on. So, yeah, very focused when he's with you. And then when he's not, you'd see him in between scenes when he wasn't being used. He'd be working away on something else. Like, you know, he's a very, very hardworking and really funny guy.
Okay, we're going to take a little clip from The Flag.
Good morning. Rise and shine. It's London Irish Radio coming to you from the heart of Kilburn.
How are you, Mouse? Did you sleep well?
How was the weekend?
Oh, wild out. Myself and the hamster and raking out buttons. On the way, Mr. Man!
Mr. Michael Austin Hamlich, my grandfather, was a hero of the Easter Rising.
The only time your grandfather was in the GPO was to post a feckin' letter.
Hello, Harry. Remember me?
This man here is about to embark on a very special mission.
Shut up, Mouse, will you?
His grandfather flew the flag in the GPO during the 1916 Rising. Now it's hanging upside down in the British Army barracks.
Is the bloody flag down in Haddonfield?
Don't know. Could be, didn't bother checking.
What the hell are we going to do now?
We need to do some drinking about this.
Are you serious?
We'll have to break into the barracks.
Well, boys, how are you getting?
I don't smell anything.
Are you maybe have a cold? You want to get that checked out?
Then me and one other, dressed as British officers, go into the mess hall and grab the flag for anyone's the wiser.
Well, what do you think of that?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds good, like.
Check this out.
Check it out.
Do check it out. Oh. It's the end of the docket.
The two of you, that's a job for the two of you now. Check it out.
An action-packed trailer there. If anybody hasn't seen The Flag, it's a great... There's a couple of cameo appearances from guys in Clara as well.
Really? Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah, your father made an appearance there. Not the first time he's appeared.
That's true.
Yeah, we needed someone for... there's a scene in a kind of working man's club, Irish club in Kilburn in London that we shot in Inchcore. The Inchcore works in Dublin. So, yeah, your father pops up there. I can't remember what he's singing now. Something from the old country, as they said.
Declan, you must get a huge, there must be a huge personal satisfaction when you get awards is one thing, but when you sit back and watch it on TV, I know there might be things that you change here and there, but the satisfaction must be great.
I know it is great. I mean, the best feeling of all is, you know, if you're sitting in with a crowd of people watching it, particularly if it's a comedy. And I got my first experience of that with Big Swinger. You know, when you played that to a pack, you know, a few hundred people in a cinema, and it just, when it went well, you know, the whole place would go for it. And actually, we had a similar experience with The Flag. We showed it in Borough at the Offline Festival the week before it came out. There's a moment in it where Pat says, he tells one of the British soldiers, he says, you know, the soldier's a bit suspicious of him, and Pat eventually admits what he's doing. He says, fuck it, we're taking the flag because, you know, he's stolen it off us or whatever. And the whole place just erupted. And, you know, it's great when you get that sort of reaction, which you don't get, unfortunately, when you're watching it on the telly. But there you go.
Let's talk for a moment about the success of Pure Mule, a great series that was set down in Banagher. And when you read the scripts on this, what was your first take on it?
Yeah, it was, when I read the scripts, I thought the scripts were amazing, and you could recognise every character in it, you know, from Scobie to Shamey, Jennifer, Bomber, Therese. They were all really recognisable characters, and it was just one of those projects where everything came together. We had a great, great script, fantastic cast, brilliant designer, DOP. The fact that it was set where it was supposed to be, you know, quite often, if you're doing something that's set in a small town or whatever, they'll want you to shoot in Wicklow because it's near to Dublin and it's cheaper and you don't have to put the crew up and all that. But one of the things that David Collins and Ed Guiney, who produced it, were very keen on was this was a story that was from the Midlands and had to be shot there. And I think it's all the better for it, you know. And we got to see places you don't normally see on television. You got to see the Boglands and the Shannon. And I think it was just a breath of fresh air for a lot of people, you know.
When you were reading that script, Declan, did you have a bit of an epiphany? Said, "This is written for me," because it was right down your alley, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I saw myself and Eugene had been working on the script for Eden prior to that, so it kind of felt like, yeah, I have to do this. But like, I wasn't absolute. There was no guarantee that I was going to be director, you know, because I hadn't developed it or anything. So it was. Was no guarantees, but I convinced them that I was the right person for the job. I had the right credentials, as they say.
There must have been great crack in Banagher. I'd say they're still talking about Pure Mule down there.
Yeah, no, and the people of Banagher were great because we were all pretty much based down there. There's just a lot of cooperation from the locals, like all the extras who were local, and we were lucky. I mean, while we settled on Banagher, there was a couple of it just had everything we needed in terms of the street, and it had a disused pub that we could take over and have it on standby for us. It was we put a barber shop in at the top of the town because there was quite a few empty buildings in the town that we were able to take over. And actually, the barber shop, my father played the barber in that, and so it was just a perfect spot for us. I mean, we branched out a couple of times. We went to did a few bits and pieces in Tullamore and a few bits in Kilcormac, and we crossed the border into Moat at one point, into Westmeath for nightclub scenes. But yeah, the majority of it was in Banagher. A very cold and wet winter in Banagher. I just remember at one point the bedroom, Scobie and Shamey's bedroom, we had, our designer had found some really good wallpaper to put up in the room, and we were due to shoot on it a few days, and John kept coming back to me and saying, like, the wallpaper's up, it's been up for 3 days and it's still not dry. It was just a little bit damp. And I know our DOP Owen, after his two stints down there, he had pneumonia. So yeah, it was
an experience.
It was definitely very atmospheric. Yeah.
Declan, you mentioned your father, Richie, indeed, was in Pure Mule. Well, it must be great looking back. Now, sadly, your dad has passed away, but looking back at see him in the film and how well he took to that part, it's great to look back and have that.
It's a surprise when I have watched it, you forget, and then suddenly he's there, and you're like, oh, Jesus. It's great that he's in that, and he's had a really decent part in it, and like, he didn't get, you know, it wasn't automatic either. He had to audition. I insisted that he audition. And Amy, who was our casting director, she was like, you have to give him the part. And no, he was great. And he played a barman then in Eden, actually, as well, Quencher's Queen. So, yeah, no, it's great that he's that he was in them.
We'll take a little piece of audio from Pure Mule, and indeed a little piece that he's featured your father as well.
Lads, so who's going to be for the birthday shag, Shammy?
No, Larry, like, I'm only just in the door. There's a chance, like.
Who's that one over there? She's looking well.
Been there, Nylers. Sorry, bro, but looking around, you might have to leave the country to get your hole.
What? Jeez, there's a grand selection in here.
Them's the rules, Nylers.
The what?
The rules. To keep the brothers cool with each other. So, like, he can't go where I've been, and vice versa. Only thing is, vice versa's never likely to happen.
Would you ever feck off, like?
Of course, they throw up 1,000 houses. No planning, no nothing. Before you know it, it's another feckin' babby town belonging to Dublin. And you know what'll happen then?
No, Jesus, Seamus, if you mind your feckin' fag.
Loss of identity. That's what'll happen.
Yeah, it is a fight, Seamus.
Oh, how's Kevin?
Oh, man.
Your last week as a single man.
Oh, yes, sorry. Stag party tonight.
Dildo, never been able to go near another woman for the rest of your life.
There's a lot around here just in passing your mouth on that.
Why? Do you ever stray, Seamus?
Indeed, he never did.
Still, one woman will never be enough for me.
You're young. One of these days, you'll feel fierce lonely. And then the first woman that comes along, you'll be asking her up the aisle.
I have to go get some fags.
Right, you're done. Ed and his brother's turn.
At the outside.
Right.
You're up there, boss. You have my deepest sympathies.
Right, thanks.
That was the great Richie Rex there, your dad, Declan. Nice to listen back to that. That part was made for him, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's funny. I remember when you're playing it there, he had a fag hanging out of his mouth. Like, my father never smoked.
No.
But the cigarette thing was based on a barber that Eugene knew from Edenderry, I think, who always had a cigarette hanging out of the corner of his mouth. So we had to go with that. It was great. Look, it was one of the first scenes we shot, as far as I remember. So we were all pretty nervous going into it, I think.
No, I suppose congratulations on the success of that, Declan. Will there ever be a return of Pure Mule?
Well, we had we did do a two-part a few years later, sort of after the crash had happened, called The Last Weekend. Something we talk about every now and again, it'd be nice to revisit a couple of the characters, you know, and see where they are now. So, never say never. You never know.
Declan, what do you make of TV now yourself these days? I mean, so much to watch. Is it all quantity over quality?
No, I mean, obviously there's never been more to watch. And with that comes a lot of, you know, a lot of rubbish, but there's also a lot of really brilliant TV out there. So we've never had so much choice. But I'd say we're probably about to reach top of the mountain. I think they can't, all these streamers can't possibly survive. It does feel like there's just too much stuff out there now. I don't watch an awful lot of Netflix or whatever, because I find it hard to find anything to watch. I mean, you hear about all these shows you should watch, but there's too many things to watch.
Yeah,
and it's a big investment of time. I mean, I started watching The Crown the first two seasons, and I was like, oh, there's another 24 hours of that to go.
Yeah.
You want to have a lot of time in your hands to get through them all.
You mentioned you're working away, Declan. Are you allowed to give us a sneak preview on what you're working on at the moment?
I'm just finishing. I directed the final two episodes of a show called Red Election that will be, I think, out later this year. And we're in the middle of getting ready to shoot a film down in Kerry called Tarrock, which is written by Eugene, who wrote Pure Mule and The Flag. It's a bit it's a father-daughter relationship. They're kind of estranged since their mother died. And the father has a bit of a turn, as they say, and the daughter has to go back down to look after him. And the bear tries to keep her in town by re-engaging her in Navog racing, which is something she used to do when she was younger and something that her mother was a champion at. So it's about her sort of getting involved in this all-female Navog racing down in Kerry and beginning to become a team player and beginning to find herself again. So that should be a bit of crack. We're planning to shoot that, I think, the last week in September. That'll keep me busy.
Okay, so lots to look forward to from Declan Rex. Declan, we're going to do a quick fire round before we finish up. So answer that comes into your head. I know there's a little bit of a delay on the line, everybody, because we are social distance as much as we can because we're not in the same room, but we're going to give it a try. Are you ready, Declan?
Shoot.
First movie you've ever saw?
Good question. This is supposed to be quickfire, isn't it?
Yeah, you can pass if you want. We'll move on. What?
Bambi. I'd say it was probably Bambi.
What actor would play Declan Rex in a movie?
They wouldn't be making a movie about me, so no answer to that.
I'd say Kiefer Sutherland. Comedy or drama?
Drama.
Best thing about Clara?
The people.
First thing you'd buy if you won the lotto?
Pass.
First album you've ever bought?
Probably Jean-Michel Jarre. Oxygen, I'd say.
Favourite country visited?
Australia.
Last movie you've seen?
I'm drawing a blank here now.
A number one selling movie or a night out in Kerry's?
Oh, a night out in Kerry's.
And the last one, Declan, name your top three movies you've seen. Everybody be interested in this now. Movie director, we'll be taking your recommendations. This is like the Just a Minute quiz with Larry. They didn't suit you, Declan.
Top three films, Jesus.
Just one for you now.
Well, obviously, I've said one already. That was Local Hero.
Yeah.
The Big Chill, another good one. And The Apartment. There you go.
Okay. Declan, for anybody growing up in Clara who's thinking of maybe getting into media, production, direction, would you have any advice on a career path?
Yeah, I mean, I think you were talking about how things have changed. Technology is so accessible now. I think you can make films now with your phone. You don't need all the equipment that we use. So I'd say just go out and do it. Just go out and make something. And there's no reason not to. Just get your friends together and shoot something. And there's no end to the number of festivals out there now that you can submit to. There's a great festival in Bourke at all time. Get involved in some of that. It's really about, I think, meeting people. You'll meet like-minded people at something, a festival like that, and just go out and do it.
Very good. Declan, will you ever come back to Clara to do a movie? We have a lot of famous people in Clara that we could make films about. Shawnee Monaghan we had on last week. There's definitely a film there anyway.
You never know. I mean, I've had one or two films that we tried to get going that just didn't happen. That would have been, could have been shot around here. We had a film about the crash that would have involved one of Ireland's one of Clara's well-known politicians. But unfortunately, that one didn't quite make it either. If there's any time there's something that I think we can film in Offaly, we're always trying to steer it this direction, you know. But you never know. There's bound to be something out there.
Declan, it's been great having you on the podcast. I wish you continued success in the future.
Thanks a million. Thanks for having me. It was not as painful as I thought it was going to be.
And
I love talking about myself. And it was good. I've been listening. I was listening to your father actually as well. It was very funny. And actually, any time Alan meets him, my brother, anytime he meets your father, and they talk about the fact that Paddy's been in. He was in The Flag, and he was in Pure Mule actually. Whereas Alan, Pat, and Jack. I've made several attempts. Like we've shot them in a couple of things, and they've usually ended up on the floor because we never used them.
Declan, as they say in your business, that's a wrap. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Yes, indeed. That is a wrap for this week. Hope you enjoyed the podcast with Declan Rex. We were social distanced to a matter of not being in the same room. It was done over Zoom. So we hope the audio quality is good. And there was a bit of delay on the line. But nonetheless, it was a great podcast. I'm delighted to have Declan on. We're going to finish out the podcast as we normally do with a Clara artist. But before that, I'd just like to thank the Clara Post Office for sponsoring this podcast. And indeed, Maura had a message on the start of this podcast that she is retiring later this year. So I'd like to take this opportunity to wish Maura the best of luck in her retirement and a well-deserved break. So now it's over to Barry Dunn with Have You Ever Seen the Rain? I'll talk to you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken? Check out all our social channels for info on new episodes. Oh, and thanks for listening. On the Town.